Greetings in the Lord. It is the 24th day of August in the year of our Lord, 2020. You are listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana and on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Genesis chapter 44, verse 19. My Lord asked his servants, saying, "Have you a father or a brother?" We said to my Lord, "We have an old father and a little child of this old age. Now, his brother is dead, so he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him." As a father, you have to be on the lookout for teaching opportunities. Time of discipline are always times of teaching, but one time in particular afforded me an opportunity to test my children. My four oldest children had been fighting with each other and were being disobedient to their mother. I pulled them all aside and got out the sword of discipline, that's what we call the paddle. As usual, there were anxious looks and dread of the discipline to come. But the thought came to me that this would be a good time to teach them about God's mercy. I told them that each deserved a spanking, but if one of them would volunteer to get a spanking, I would let the rest of them go free. Would one of them step up for the team, or would they all get a spanking? My oldest volunteered, and so I followed through. Afterwards, I talked to the children about how Jesus Christ took the punishment we deserved for sin, though he did not deserve it at all. It was a good teaching moment, and good to see one child love the others selflessly. In our passage we just read today, the word love is used in the middle of a similar test. Joseph, who had been attacked by his brothers and sold into slavery, was now, by God's providence, in a place of authority over them. It had been many years since they had last seen him, and now they were before him, not expecting to see him, and they did not recognize him. They had come to beg for food during a famine and found themselves at Joseph's mercy. Joseph, without revealing himself, told them that if they were to come back, they must bring their youngest brother, Benjamin. When food was scarce again, they had no choice but to return and bring little Ben along. This time, Joseph tested them by putting a silver cup in Benjamin's bag without their knowledge and had them arrested for theft. They were being framed, but it was a test to see if his brothers had really changed, or were they the same men who had horribly treated Joseph? Joseph got his answer. Judah, full of humility, begged for the life of Benjamin, the one his father loves. There must have been a mixture of pain and pity as Joseph heard Judah speak as if he were dead. Matthew Henry says that the brothers had told a lie long enough to their father about Joseph that even here they seemed to believe it themselves. Judah, moved by love for his father, cannot bear to see his father hurt anymore by the loss of Benjamin. Therefore, he begged Joseph to allow him to trade places with his brother. Judah will take the punishment for theft if only Joseph will let brother Ben go. Joseph, moved by the response to his testing and the mention of his father's suffering and grief, could not bear it any longer. The Bible says he wept so loud that not only those there heard it, the whole household of Pharaoh did as well. I can't even imagine the emotions of that scene as he revealed himself to his brothers. There were years of pain, grief, longing, and loneliness on one side, with years of grief and shame on the other. And as Joseph wept, his brothers were struck with shock and fear. Can you imagine being in their place? What is going on? Joseph goes on to reveal himself to his brothers. He forgives them, recognizing the sovereignty of God through it all, sovereignty which paints for us such a beautiful picture of Christ Jesus. So here is some application for this as we begin our time of worship. First point is that trust is earned. Joseph tested his brothers to see if he would be able to trust them with who he was. The Bible teaches us to love our enemies and to forgive those who trespass against us, but it doesn't require us to trust those who harm us. You can forgive those who have harmed you, but you don't have to trust them unless they show themselves trustworthy. It's okay to test them to see if they'll keep their word before you move forward in any relationship. Number two, Matthew Henry, in noticing Judah's concern for his father, says, "It's the duty of children to be very tender of their parents' comfort, and to be afraid of anything that may be an occasion of grief to them." Children ought to be tender to their parents in their old age. Judah was willing to face life in prison rather than to cause his father any more hurt. How do you care for your fathers? Are you tender to them? And thirdly, our Lord Jesus came from the line of Judah and followed in his steps, laying down his life for us. The older brother giving his life for the younger because of how much the younger was loved by the Father. We ought to see how much Jesus, the eternal Son, loves his Father, that he lays down his life for his Father's children. Just as Joseph wept, we ought to be moved by the display of love on the cross. Father for the Son, Son for the Father, Father for his children, Jesus for his brothers. This is a love that cannot be fully comprehended and explained, especially in the light of the fact that we are but sinners, wicked and evil, and have been enemies of God. And we always attempt to cover and hide our sins before his face. But brothers, scriptures tell us of the love of God, and that ought to move us. And I move us to confess our sins to him with a humble, lowly, repentant, and obedient heart, to the end that we may receive forgiveness by his infinite goodness and mercy. As we come before his throne today to receive instruction and lift up our petitions, let us first bow our knees and plead for the mercy of God. Almighty God, we are unworthy to come into your presence because of our many sins. We do not deserve any grace or mercy from you if you dealt with us as we deserve. We have sinned against you, O Lord, and we have offended you. And yet, O Lord, we acknowledge our sins and offenses, and we also acknowledge you to be a merciful God, a loving and favorable Father, who all return to you. And so we humbly ask you, for the sake of Christ your Son, to show mercy to us and forgive us all our offenses. Forgive the sins of our youth and the sins of our old age. By your Spirit, O God, take possession of our hearts, so that not only the actions of our life, but also the words of our mouths and the smallest thought of our minds may be guided and governed by you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy and seeking your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, you're resolved to pursue holiness and to live in peace and love with all men. If you have this testimony in your hearts before God, then be assured that your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ, our Lord. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 118, verses 1 through 18. This is the word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. O let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. O let the house of Aaron say, his loving kindness is everlasting. O let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. From my distress I called upon the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished as a fire of thorns. In the name of the Lord, I will surely cut them off. You pushed me violently so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I will not die but live and tell of the works of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to him. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brothers, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Therefore, listen to the Old Testament reading from 1 Samuel chapter 29 through 31. This is the Word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Now, the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, while the Israelites were camping by the spring which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines were proceeding on by hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were proceeding on in the rear with Achish. Then the commanders of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, the king of Israel, who has been with me these days, or rather these years, and I have found no fault in him from the day he deserted to me to this day?" But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him, and the commanders of the Philistines said to him, "Make the man go back, that he may return to his place where you have assigned him, and do not let him go down to battle with us, or in the battle he may become an adversary to us. For with what could this man make himself acceptable to his Lord? Would it not be the heads of these men? Is this not David of whom they sing in the dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? Then Achish called David and said to him, "As the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army are pleasing in my sight, for I have not found evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you're not pleasing in the sight of the Lord's. Now therefore, return and go in peace, that you may not displease the Lord of the Philistines." David said to Achish, But what have I done? And what have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" But Achish replied to David, "I know that you are pleasing in my sight, like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, 'He must not go up with us to the battle.' Now then, arise early in the morning with the servants of your lord who have come with you, and as soon as you have arisen early in the morning and have light, depart." So David rose early, he and his men, to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and overthrown Ziklag and borne it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive: Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, "Please bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this man? Shall I overtake them?" And he said to him, "Pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all." So David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those left behind remained. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the Book Bezer remained behind. Now, they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he ate. And they provided him water to drink. They gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of the Amalekite, and my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a red on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Then David said to him, "Will you bring me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this man." When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken from the land of Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them from the twilight until evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. But nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, son or daughters, spoil or anything they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep and the cattle, which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, "This is David's spoil." When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had been left the brook Besor, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, then David approached the people and greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children, that they may be led them away and depart." Then David said, "You must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered into our hand the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike." So it has been from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Behold, a gift for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel, to those who were in Ramoth of the Negev, and to those who were in Jatir, to those who were in Aror, and to those who were in Siphmoth, and to those who were in Eshetomiah, and to those who were in Rakel, and to those who were in the cities of the Drahelamites, and to those who were in the city of the Kenites, and to those who were in Hormah, and to those who were in Borashan, and to those who were in Aphka, and to those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to go." Now the Philistines were fighting against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gibeah. The Philistines overtook Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. The battle went heavily against Saul, and his archers hit him. He was badly wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and pierce me through with it. Otherwise these uncircumcised will come and pierce me through and make sport of me." But his armor-bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. So Saul took his sword and fell on it. When his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. Thus Saul died with his three sons, his armor-bearer, and all his men on that day together. When the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley, with those who were beyond the Jordan, saw that the men of Israel had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned the cities and fled. Then the Philistines came and lived in them. It came about on the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gibeah. They cut off his head and stripped off his weapons, and sent them throughout the land of the Philistines to carry the good news to the house of their idols and to the people. They put his weapons in the temple of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth-shan. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men rose and walked all night, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came to Jabesh and burned them there. They took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Brothers, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Therefore, listen to this New Testament reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 55, to chapter 12, verse 19. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up to Jerusalem out of the country before the Passover to purify themselves. So they were seeking for Jesus and were saying to one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? That he will not come to the feast at all?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was reported, so that they might seize him. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper there, and Martha was serving. But Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Mary then took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to poor people?" Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And as he had the money box, he used to pilfer what was put into it. Therefore Jesus said, "Let her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews then learned that he was there, and they came, not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. But the chief priest planned to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him many of the Jews were going away and were believing in Jesus. On the next day, the large crowd had come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took the branches of the palm trees and went out to meet him and began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel!" Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." These things his disciples did not understand at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him, and they had done these things to him. So the people who were with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify about him. For this reason also the people went and met him, because they heard that he had performed this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are not doing any good. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. And we give thanks to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And as you ask, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. This is the Word of God. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. There is a kind, oh, how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords, and his jaw teeth like knives, to devour the afflicted from the earth, and the needy from among men. The leech has two daughters, give, give. There are three things that will not be satisfied, four that will not say enough. Sheol and the barren womb, earth that is never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, four which I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky, the way of a serpent on a rock, the way of a ship in the middle of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. This is the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. My God, Father, and Savior, since you have been pleased to give me the grace to come through the night to the present day, now grant that I may employ it entirely in your service, so that all my works may be to the glory of your name and the edification of my neighbors. As you have been pleased to make your Son shine upon the earth to give us bodily light, grant the light of your Spirit to illumine my understanding and my heart. Because it means nothing to begin well if one does not persevere, I ask that you would continue to increase your grace in me until you have led me into full communion with your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who is the true Son of our souls, shining day and night, eternally and without end. Hear me, merciful Father, by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, brothers, may the Lord preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.